for It's All About Food. It's all about food, because it is all about food. Everything, I think, anyway. Health, environment, animals, everything on Earth is connected to the food we make and the food we eat, and I like talking about food. I'm Karen Hartglass, and I am the founder of a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living, because I think food should be not only delicious and fun and beautiful and good for you, but I think it should be good for all life on Earth. And I believe we can have our cake and eat it too. We can have great, delicious food, feed the entire world healthfully, and not do very much damage as a result, or any at all. But unfortunately, today there's a lot of crazy things going on with our food production, and it's affecting our environment in terrible ways. But there's a lot of things that we can do every day, three meals a day, if we have three meals a day, with every bite. And it can be really, really fun. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how fun it can be, especially with barbecues and summertime. It's August 22nd, 2012, and there's still plenty of summertime left for those of you on the part of the planet where it's summer in August. I know here in New York it is very much summer, and it's a beautiful day today. But there's still plenty of time left for enjoying outdoor barbecues and all kinds of fun eating and partying, and you can do it with food that's kind to you and kind to the planet. So we're going to bring on John Schlimm. He's been on It's All About Food before. He's a member of one of the oldest brewing families in the United States. He's an international award-winning author of several books, including The Tipsy Vegan and The Ultimate Beer Lover's Cookbook. He holds a master's degree from Harvard and lives in Pennsylvania. And we're going to be talking about grilling vegan style. Welcome to It's All About Food, John.
Hey, Karen. It is so exciting to be with you and your listeners again.
Yes.
How lucky I am to get to do this again with you.
Well, I am all fired up to talk about your 125 fired up recipes.
Me too. It's going to be so fun getting to add a little sizzle to summer here with you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've looked at your book and played with a few recipes. This is a winner. This is a good one. There's a lot
Thank
of
you.
Really lovely, and what I love about it is most of the ingredients are so simple. It's just a lot of beautiful, fresh, summer-grade food.
Well, you know what, with both the Tipsy Vegan and now Grilling Vegan Style, it was important to me to first create books that I call parties in a book, and parties that everyone is invited to. But also, I was determined to make these two books what I also call small town friendly, because I live back in my small hometown and I want my friends and neighbors here to be able to go to our supermarkets and our farmers markets and find all the ingredients.
I like it. And, you know, there are lots of products, fortunately, out on the market today for vegans. But in this book, you don't even have to get those special products. You can make your own vegan sour cream. You can make your own vegan mayonnaise. And also Worcestershire sauce. You have a great recipe for that, too.
Yeah, I think it's so important for me to blast through these silly myths that vegan eating and the vegan lifestyle is mysterious and about blah eating food and, you know, these specialty ingredients that you can only get in health food stores on Mars. You know, maybe that's the case in some books and in some places. That will never be the case in my books, because my books are all about fun and easy eating and cooking, because I really believe that the cooking should be just as fun as the eating.
Okay, so you sort out in your book talking about all the different kinds of grills that you can buy and use in order to grill. And there's a lot of choices out there.
You know, it can really be overwhelming, and that's why I try to really explain it for the beginners out there as easily as possible, and to really say you do have a lot of choices. So this is a decision that is an investment both in money, of course, but also in time and future funds. So take your time with the decision. Go shop around, see what's out there, see what you specifically need. Is this something that you're going to do in a backyard? Is this something you're going to want to take with you on the road? Or maybe you live in an apartment with just a little balcony. There are grills that fit that. There are grills that go on boats. So lots of choices. Talk to fellow grillers. Find out what they like or don't like about certain types of grills, and then you can make a decision based on that, whether you want a charcoal grill, an electric grill, a gas grill, or, you know, there are these big fancy ones out there that are hybrid grills that combine both charcoal and gas. So those are a little pricey right now, but I think, you know, in the years to come, we're going to see those come down to a range that the rest of us can afford.
Can I ask you what kind you use?
Well, I actually like either a charcoal or a gas, and I'll tell you what, I'm currently looking for a new grill because mine has gone kaput after, you know, experimenting with all of these recipes.
Right, you burned it up.
So, you know. So, yeah, I'm going out and looking, but I'll tell you what, all my friends, you know, I love when I go to their houses, they have a variety, whether it's charcoal, gas, electric. You know, my mom has a little Foreman grill that you can fit maybe two veggie burger patties on. She loves it. You know, she plugs it in, uses it in the kitchen, and she makes stuff for herself and my dad all the time. So, again, look for what you need and go out and, you know, make your choice.
Well, I think it's important to note in this book that it's a party book, and it's certainly great to go out and enjoy yourself at a barbecue, and there's all kinds of options in this book for that. But you can use these recipes indoors as well. You don't, and just for yourself.
Absolutely. And there is this amazing invention, and I would love to know who actually invented it. It's the grill pan, and it literally, and you probably have one, a lot of people might already. If not, run out now and get one. It is just a pan. It has the little ridges. You use it on the stovetop, and you might not get that smoky flavor, but guess what? That's where our imagination comes into play. But especially during the winter months, if, again, you don't have a grill or it's not easily accessible in the winter, grill pans are amazing. I use my grill pan all the time.
I've got a cast iron. It's rectangular. It goes on my gas oven burner top, and I turn two burners on underneath it. One side's for, like, pancakes. The other side's for grilling. It costs, like, nothing, and it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's just absolutely brilliant. So kudos to whomever out there invented that.
Okay, good. So now we've got our tools all taken care of, and now we're going to jump in and make some food. And as I was telling some people earlier, you should not be looking at this book when you're hungry. Very, very dangerous because everything is so good and tempting looking. So I just want to talk about some of the things that popped out. It's just everything. I was recently at a pizza party where we were making all these different pizzas, and one of the things that we had there were these roasted or grilled peppers, and you've got this great shishito heat wave. Yeah,
no,
please.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, shishito peppers are really coming into their own. And I'm so excited that I'm getting to introduce them to, you know, the few people out there who haven't heard of them yet, but they're in most supermarkets now. And they're really this great marriage of, like, a jalapeno and a green pepper, because they're not really hot, though maybe every eighth or ninth one might be hot. But they're so good, and you pop them on a grill, and you get that brown sort of blistery effect on them, and, oh, yum.
Yeah, they're really simple. This recipe that you have just uses a little oil and salt and pepper. I mean, there's really nothing to it, and yet they're beautiful, and they're really, really yummy.
And yeah, they're really a showstopper at a at a party.
Absolutely, showstopper, and they're just peppers. Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing thing about vegetables, and I think like they're finally getting some of the attention that they deserve. And I just wanted to mention before we even go further that the pictures in this book by Amy Beadle Roth are really, really lovely.
Well, she is just a brilliant artist with just an impeccable eye. And she shot all of the photos for The Tipsy Vegan, which was the very first book she's worked on. And so it was so wonderful from my first vegan cookbook and the first book that we could sort of travel down that road together. But yes, her photos just really make the food jump right off the page and make you feel like you can reach right in and grab them. If only we could.
Yeah, you want to. You want to lick the pages here. There's no question about it. So what I like is, I mean, so many different things. You've got popcorn that you could make on the grill.
Yeah.
Why not?
I really wanted to push the limits with this book. I couldn't believe that there had not been a vegan grilling cookbook done before. There have certainly been a few vegetarian ones done, but even those leave out a chunk of us that can't enjoy all of those dishes. So I really, wanted to put a book out there that was going to break some new ground and contribute something to this whole wonderful discussion we are having to move it forward. So to put recipes like the popcorn in there, and another one that's getting a lot of buzz from people on Facebook and Twitter, the tattooed watermelon salad.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Yeah. Yeah.
They were like, what? You can put watermelon on a grill?
Yeah, we were just talking about that before the show started. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's another really simple recipe. And, my thought process is you can put anything on a grill at least once and try it. And, maybe not everything works, but, boy, we found a lot of things that do work, like the watermelon, like the popcorn, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Finicky little eaters, and especially now with back to school, maybe not everyone's so excited about back to school. I have a back to school party for your little ones, and grill up some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I know. I was just—I mean, I haven't made it, but I was just thinking, just having that gooey peanut butter melting in your mouth from—it just sounds so good.
Yeah, another showstopper. And guess what? The adults will like it just as much as the kids, because isn't that one of the ultimate comfort foods, that peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I'm looking at the romaine holiday, which most of them are really simple. And this is just romaine leaves that you haven't prepped really very much. It's just the long, almost like you cut a head of it in half or something like that. And then you sprinkle it with some really great flavorings. But I like this for a lot of reasons. One is sometimes when I go to a restaurant, I order a salad like this because as a vegan, that way I know that I can see all the ingredients. I know that they haven't put anything in it that might be suspect. But I could imagine for a picnic or an outdoor party, this is like terrific because when you don't cut up the lettuce ahead of time, it really holds its own. It stays muscly. It's just a lovely way. The presentation's great. People don't think about this, but this is a good one.
No, and I am all about easy entertaining. I love to entertain as much as the next person. But I think you realize this, because I'm sure you entertain a lot. The host and hostess so often is stuck in the kitchen having to do all the work while everyone else is, in the other room or out in the backyard having all the fun. So to have dishes that are easy, especially like the romaine holiday, what a great luncheon dish if you're having a few people over for lunch. You can easily prepare it and, really spend the time with your guests and not in the kitchen or at the grill.
You have a string bean and arugula salad, and you say that you can use yellow or green beans, but the yellow beans really pop in this recipe with the arugula, and I was really surprised to see that. It's gorgeous. Go yellow beans.
One of a million different things that I love about working with vegetables, and of course there's a lot of fruit that we'll talk about that mm-hmm. you can grill as well. they really are works of art. I mean, no artist on the planet comes close to Mother Nature when she is creating these beautiful fruits and vegetables for us to work with. You know, the work's already taken care of for us as far as making these plates look beautiful. We are just sort of the middle person preparing them and putting them on the plate. But that dish, it really is a great example of just how beautiful, and again, simple and beautiful that a dish can be.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would choose a beef burger, a turkey burger, a crappy Frankfurter over some of these gorgeous recipes that you have in here. But some people will. What is a cedar plank?
Well, it is really just what it says. It's a piece of cedar that has been prepared, and you can certainly get it in a specialty store.
Like a specialty food store, or what kind of specialty store?
Well, I've seen them in specialty food and kitchen stores that you can, you know, that's one of those things where you may have to look around a little bit for, but it's really worth it because that comes with the cedar smoked mushroom recipe in the book. And certainly once you use it on that recipe, I'm sure you'll find other things that you can also use that cedar plank.
So it's just a piece of cedar wood?
Yes.
Like the kind I would use in my closets to keep the moths out.
Yes, more or less, but a different purpose.
Good. I like multi-purpose things. And then the other really interesting ingredient, which is brilliant in this recipe, is the mushroom crust. Did you come up with that, or you see? Well, I've never seen that before.
Well, you know, I over the course of, I think this is cookbook number 9 or 10 for me. I've really developed a great team that I work with, and you know, and every cookbook author does this, and a really great test kitchen, because naturally these recipes need to be tested and sampled. And you know, I think people have the luxury of walking into the bookstore and, oh, there's this great cookbook, just going to buy it. A lot goes into it, and so I really worked closely with my team, and we developed this recipe, and again, pushing the limits to give people not only simple, delicious food, but a few things in there that they might not have heard of before. And the mushroom crust is certainly one of those. And it's something that you can use with other things once you try it once with this recipe. You can have some fun.
Yeah, well, all it is dried mushrooms that you pulse and make a coarse ground of in a food processor. And I imagine mushrooms have so much flavor. And just sprinkle. I'm just so excited to try this.
Yeah, mushrooms, I think, are so underrated among vegetables. And they're one of my favorites, and there's so many different kinds. And boy, you can have so much fun experimenting with them. And certainly, you know, those people out there who have trained themselves to go out and pick wild mushrooms, which you do need to be trained to some degree, because there are some out there. And that's one of my goals, to learn exactly how to do that. But think about, you know, using some of those delicious wild mushrooms.
Well,
maybe find someone who does that and ask them if you can have some.
Let's just take a moment here and talk about the mighty mushroom, because I remember people thinking that there wasn't really anything of nutritional value in a mushroom, and mushrooms are amazing. I like to call them natural chemotherapy sometimes, because there are so many immune system boosting things in mushrooms and anti-cancer fighting things that people are now starting to take. Concentrated mushroom supplements, not the ones that we eat, but other mushrooms. But all of the mushrooms are really packed with really good stuff. So eat up.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we as a society feel that we need to load down our food, specifically vegetables, with all these different sauces and butters and seasonings. And you know, of course, some of that can be really good, but I love to just take a raw or lightly cooked vegetable and just have sort of a mindful moment where I pop it in my mouth, I chew it, I close my eyes, and I really concentrate on the flavor. And I think if you do that with a mushroom, even with, you know, corn on the cob does not need all this butter and salt and all that slathered on. I put nothing, you know, and I have two grilled corn on the cob recipes in the book that have really great sauces, but I often love just eating it as is. And when you really focus on the flavor just as it is without anything on it, you're going to be surprised. You know this, I know this. I'm sure a lot of your listeners do. You're going to be so surprised at how flavorful these vegetables are.
Corn can vary depending on where you get it and what farm and what time of the season it's from. But I picked up some corn recently from our brand new farmer's market in my neighborhood. And I thought, did they add sugar to the soil? This corn was the sweetest thing I had ever tasted. It was crazy.
We just had corn from, you know, we're at the pinnacle of our farmer's market here because, of course, we have a very short growing season in Pennsylvania here, but we just had corn from our farmer's market on Sunday at a picnic, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is like candy. It's so sugary, and again, all on its own. You did, and what was great is, you know, of course, I don't use butter anyway, but the others around the table, my cousins and aunts and even my parents who always have to slather up their cobs and everything, they forgot to bring the butter out. And I said, just try it without anything on. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. They ate it without any butter or anything else. But you're right. Corn is one of those things. Sometimes you can get corn that is really, really bad. So, you know, if you get a bad cob, don't judge corn on that one cob.
Right, yeah. But definitely eat it when it's fresh and in season. And speaking of fresh and in season, let's just talk a moment about tomatoes, which should only be eaten fresh and in season. Unfortunately, I talk probably too much about tomatoes from time to time, but they grow tomatoes all year round in Florida, and they have no flavor, and they're grown really horrifically. And the thing is, catch them when they're in season, eat as many as you can, and then move on to something else.
Absolutely, which of course, you know, brings me and I'm sure you to my grilled tomato suns recipe on page 78 of the book. Super, super easy. Cut the tomato half crosswise, scoop out the seeds and some of the pulp, and then just with a little salt, a little pepper, some olive oil, put it cut side down on the grill for a few minutes. And you have an amazing, amazing, simple dish. Side dish, a little luncheon dish, whatever you want. Right now, of course, the tomatoes are really in season. And we're just enjoying them by the mouthful from the farmer's market and from all different relatives whose gardens are overflowing with them. And if people don't understand the difference in taste, I challenge them, have one in season, and then, you know, in January, find one, and you're going to notice the difference big time.
I used to live in the south of France, and this was a dish that you found in many restaurants, and I would make it at home a lot, but it's just so simple and just amazing. Grilled tomatoes.
And talk about health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes. Oh, my goodness. We just keep learning about those, don't we?
Okay,
amazing.
So we just have a few minutes left, so let's go to the sweeter side. And I think most people don't realize that they can grill fruit and how spectacular it is.
It really is. You know, we talked about the watermelon, which is fantastic. But strawberries and peaches. There is the party on South Peach salsa in the book, which so yummy. But just peaches grilled on their own and combined with a great sauce. You know, different berries, even other than strawberries, you can grill. Coconut, coconut grilled, there's a coconut recipe in the book. Pineapple rings. It just goes on and on again. And if you find some fruit that is strange and mysterious, you pick it up and toss it on the grill. Put a little oil and just throw it on the grill and go with it. And, you know, I think a lot of this is about experimenting and having fun. And especially with grilling, every grill is different, so you need to stick close by. But you can have so much fun transforming dishes. And I like to think with grilling vegan style and the vegetables and fruit dishes in there, it's just a starting point.
Have you heard this?
Jump off and,
I just want to ask you, have you heard this? I heard that when you... The first bite of anything you eat is the one that's the most flavorful, and then as you continue to eat it, you don't get all of the flavor of that first impression. And I've read it many times, and I don't believe it, because when I'm eating delicious fruits and vegetables, every mouth is spectacular. And I'm wondering, is it just because I have a clean palate, and maybe this is true of people who are eating all the wrong things, that the first bite is only interesting, but every bite of a good grilled vegetable or any of these things is spectacular.
Well, I have to say and admit that I am a great observer of the way people eat, which I shouldn't say, because now anyone at a dinner party with me is going to be very self-conscious. But if you've ever noticed, most people, it's no wonder the first bite is the only bite they taste, because you know, 5 minutes later, they're done. They just, I don't think they even chew anymore. Mm. They just gulp it and swallow it whole.
Good point.
I'm always the last one done. I always chew my food, which really is the healthy way to do, because our stomachs don't have teeth. You know. So I think you and I are, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners, are very mindful eaters and really appreciative of what they're eating and really the flavor and where it came from. And eating to me is almost an exercise in meditation sometimes. But yeah, I think people need to slow down and make every bite count and really be grateful for that bite of the delicious food that they're having. And the flavor will then follow.
John, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. I really love what you've done with fruits and vegetables, spectacular. Grilling vegan style. These recipes really are fired up and worth celebrating.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to do it again with you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to take a break now. That's what I'm doing. And we'll be right back with Jenny Brown from the Woodstock Animal Sanctuary. And she's got a really beautiful story to tell in her new book, The Lucky Ones. We'll be right back.